Isaiah 1, verse 18, when speaking about sin and the effects of sin, the question was asked, how does a worm get inside of an apple? Perhaps you think, as many, that the worm burrows his way in from the outside, but scientists have discovered that the worm comes from inside. How does it get there? An insect lays an egg on the apple blossom. Sometime later, the worm hatches in the heart of an apple, and then it eats its way out of the apple. That's the way sin is. It's like that worm. It begins in the heart of a person, and it works its way out of the person through thoughts, words, and actions. That came from Heavenly Home and our radio bulletin. So let's look at that today and see what we can gather from what God is speaking through Isaiah the prophet. And he says in verse 18, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool." So here we start this verse by Isaiah telling us to come now. That is actually a command from God, a command that you should proceed towards God, not later, not to put it off, not when you get ready, but God says come, and you come now is what he's telling us. And so he tells Isaiah the prophet, you share this with them, tell them to come to me. When God touches somebody's heart, he is ready to work at that point. He's not wanting to put it off. He's ready to work. So if God touches your heart today in some manner, don't harden your heart. Don't rebel. Don't become stiff about it. But come to God willingly and trust God that he knows what he's doing. So he says here, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. So in other words, God says, come to me, and let me explain to you the problem, and I'll show you a solution to that problem. Well, that's pretty basic. What's the problem? Though your sins are like scarlet, is the first problem he points out. Your sins are like scarlet. Did you know in the Hebrew, the word for scarlet means twice dyed? So it is given the image of a color stained deep within a material or deep within something. So it has been dyed twice to set that color deep within. So when you speak about sin and disobedience to God, it brings the idea forth that it is a deep-rooted problem within every person. And we find that to be true. Sin is a deep-rooted problem that goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, and it began with Adam and Eve, and it has worked its way through all of us and will continue to work its way through until this world ends. It is a deep-rooted problem. That's the solution. I mean, that's the problem. You have sin in your heart. The solution is they shall be made white as snow, bright and clean. So think about something that is dyed twice, the color is set deep within, and then all of a sudden it's made bright and clean. You know, you wear white clothes and it's difficult to keep them looking white. Sometimes you have to work hard at getting stains out of the white stuff. Sometimes it's impossible. But God says, even though your sins are like scarlet, you can be made white. Your sins can be taken care of, and you can become glistening as snow. When you go out skiing, you have to wear shades because it is so bright. The sun reflecting off of the snow, you have to have something to shelter your eyes. That's kind of the image that he's giving. How does that happen? Only when you come to Jesus does that happen. Jesus is the one who paid the price for your sin. He's the one who died on the cross so that you could be forgiven. And your sins could be, those stains of that sin could be wiped away. And you could become pure and white again. Well, he says here, there's another problem. It's the same problem, only it's told in a different way. though they are red like crimson. That is your sin. Though your sin is red like crimson. Now, at first reading, that doesn't sound really too bad. It sounds almost like he's saying the same thing. But did you know that in this day and time, to make the dye for the color of crimson, they had to take the dried body of a female worm or a maggot, and they had to mash it together to come up with that color crimson. Now, get the picture. This is what your sin looks like to God. Dried maggots or worms is what he's talking about. Your sin is like crimson. So it's like dried maggots. Would you want to sit down and eat a meal and have even, it'll say live maggots. They don't have to be dead. Live maggots. No, you're going to run from that. You're not going to want anything to do with that because that's nasty. That's tainted. And that's what God says you are with sin in your life. It is terrible. It is a terrible sight for God to look at. So that's the problem. Here's a solution. They shall become white as wool. White and pure. So once again, through Jesus, your sins can be washed away. The stains of sin can be washed away. Now here's what he says in verse 19. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. So if you are willing and obedient, God commanded you to come. So the first thing is you must be willing to come. The Hebrew word for willing means to yield or to consent to what God is telling you. So you hear what God is saying and you turn your heart towards that. Instead of rebelling or walking out here and saying, "Ah, that preacher meddling in our lives again. He don't know what he's talking about. Who's that guy I think he is?" Whatever. You consent to God. You yield to God. Secondly, is you must be obedient. That is, not just hearing it, not just hearing what God says, but taking that step of obedience. Okay, Lord, I've heard you. I know what you're saying. How do I respond? Do I need to do this? Do I need to go in this direction? Do I need to change this? I don't know. Deal with God on that, but you must be willing and you must be obedient. You must take action. What are some of the actions you need to take? Look back up to verse 16 and 17. Here's what Isaiah tells Israel. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, plead the widow's cause. I think verse 16 and 17 ought to give you a pretty good idea in how to respond. When you're trying to figure out what you need to do to respond, maybe you ought to wash yourself. Maybe you ought to clean, not the outside, but the inside. Maybe you ought to remove the evil things that are from within your household and from around you. Maybe you ought to stop doing those things that leads you away from God. Maybe you ought to learn, set new habits, learn how to do good. Learn how to seek justice, correct oppression. He says, seek justice for the orphans and the widows. Did you know in the New Testament, James tells us the same thing. In James 1 and in verse 27, it says, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. So James basically tells us the same thing that Isaiah is telling us, is that pure religion is taking care of orphans, widows, and keeping oneself away from the stains of the world, the sin of the world. So maybe that's a good place to start when you're looking at becoming obedient. And here's what he says in verse 19, the end of it. You shall eat the good of the land. In other words, your obedience to God brings blessings upon your life, brings blessings into your life. Divine intervention from God will be brought into your life. You will eat the good of the land. In other words, God is going to overwhelm you with His blessings when you walk in willingness and obedience to Him. Well, we have verse 20. It says, "But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be eaten by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." If you refuse and rebel, God actually commanded us to come to Him. And then there's two responses laid out here. A positive response in verse 19, being willing and obedient, receiving blessings from God. And then a negative, which is found here in verse 20. And the negative response is, if you refuse, you can say no. If you want to, you can tell God no. But I'm going to tell you, that comes with consequences. If you're working for a living and your boss tells you to do something and you say, I don't think I want to do that, there's probably going to be consequences. You're probably fixing to be looking for a new job. You're probably going to have lots of problems at that job because you said no. You're paid to do something and you say no. Well, you're not paid to serve God, but if God tells you to do something and you say no, there's going to be consequences. You can rebel. What's the difference in refusing and rebelling? Rebelling is not just saying no, but it's gathering a group with you and all of you saying no. Have you ever found, I've seen this before, people say, let's all band together and all of us as a group tell them we're not going to do that. Well, that never works. Seems like the one who's got the idea is the one who's the first one to stay out of it. And one person who's bold enough to take that step is the one who's thrown to the wolves. But that's leading a rebellion, getting other people to be disobedient with you. We don't look at it that way, but that's what it is. If you're telling God no, and then you're rebelling, you're getting others to follow you into that same rebellion, that same disobedience, and so they're rebelling against God. So these are negative responses, and they will come with a consequence. Now, you may be thinking, I don't know why this guy's preaching this, because we're all in church. We're here. And we're ready to worship God, and we're ready to serve. So was Israel when Isaiah spoke this. Look back up to verse 11. He says, "What to me is the multitude of your sacrifice, says the Lord. I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of the well-fed beast. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required of you this trampling of my courts? Bring no more vain offerings. Incense is an abomination to me, new moon and Sabbath and the calling of convocations. I cannot endure iniquity and solemn assembly. Your new moons and your appointed feast my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood." So you see, this message was for those who were meeting together in the temple. They were following through with the sacrifices. All these things that I just read to you, God had commanded them to do. So they were doing what God had commanded them to do, trying to be obedient to God. But here's the problem. They were just going through the motions. They were just showing up, doing these sacrifices, meeting for the holy times, lifting holy hands, and God said He was sick of it. So notice He says in verse 15, He says, "I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood." In other words, they were stained. They're guilty. They've still got sin. and they're trying to show up and serve the Lord. Going to church, going through the motions, doesn't mean God is pleased. I'm thankful that you're here, but by being here and by sitting through this 30 minutes of torture doesn't mean that God is going to be pleased with you. I was traveling yesterday, and so I was scanning the radio station trying to find something to listen to, and this country radio somewhere down south popped in and caught my attention, so I started listening. I don't know who the guy is. I don't know the song, but I was listening. And basically in the song, he said that he came in, had a hangover, went to bed. He said the next morning his wife woke him up and said, "You're going to church." So he said, "I got up and went to church, listened to the music." He said, "I even sang the words to a couple of the songs." He said, "We got out of church. Everybody came over to my house, my friends, my family." He said, "We grilled steaks and we drank beer and we watched football. Great day." And I thought, I don't know who this guy is, but he has captured the American life. He has captured it in song. That you live however you want to all week long, and you dedicate 1 hour to God to sit in church, sing a few songs, and you think God is blessed. He's pleased with you. I'm telling you, that's not right at all. That's wrong. Going through the motions is not going to get it. This is a brand new year. And as we come into the brand new year, we ought to dedicate ourselves to serving God faithfully and fully, and taking all the sin and all the junk that's in our lives and cut it out. Get it out of there so that we can be pure and right and holy before a God who has sent His Son to die for us. Because God's not going to be pleased with that. Well, He wasn't pleased with Israel during this day either, because even though they tried that and it didn't work, you can try it. I'm going to tell you right now, it's not going to work. But Israel tried it, and he says, "You shall be eaten by the sword. You'll be devoured by God." So you see, your choices bring consequences. If you choose to follow God and trust God and be obedient, He's going to bless you. If you choose not to, you rebel, then the consequences are there's not going to be blessing, and you may be swept away in the midst of all the turmoil that's happening in the world. So whatever God's chosen instrument is, He will punish disobedience. It brings forth a curse. Now, if you go back, I want to point something out to you and want you to notice this. In verse 19, it starts the verse with "if." In verse 20, it starts the verse with "but if." Both of these statements in Hebrew are conditional statements. That means that the condition depends on your response. So however you respond to the command to come to God is how God is going to respond to you. If the command is to come, verse 19, if you come, then God will respond in blessings. It's conditional based on your response. If verse 20, you choose to do that, then God will respond to you based on your unwillingness, your hard heart. And He's going to begin working to cut all that out and to get you where He wants you to be. So, you say, "Man, this is pretty hard." Here's what I got to say about that. Look at the end of verse 20. "For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." This is God's word. It's not me. I didn't sit around and say, "Who can I torment today? Let's see, I saw so-and-so doing this. Maybe I ought to throw that in." This is what God is telling us. And you know, when God's people decide to hear God and they decide to walk after God and to stop walking in the world, then you'll see lasting change. God doesn't change. God's the same today. He's the same yesterday, and He's the same tomorrow. God is the only consistent thing that you can count on in your lives. Not the world, not the political realm, not science, Not any of that, but God. So God's the only thing that doesn't change, and He's pointing out the problem is sin in our lives. Whether you have sin that's undealt with, or you have sin because you've never come to Jesus to begin with, it's an issue that has to be addressed. It's an issue that you need to work on. There was a drunk husband came in one night, and he snuck up the stairs, and he looked in the bathroom, and he went to the mirror, and he had bruises and cuts from being in a fight. So he took Band-Aids, and he put them on his face, put them out there, and he went, slipped into bed, and he was smiling the whole time that he slipped into bed, thinking, "Ah, I pulled one over on my wife this time. She'll never know." Next morning, he woke up, and his wife was standing over him. "Were you drunk last night?" "No, I wasn't drunk. Why are you asking me that?" She said, "Well, if you weren't drunk, then who put all those Band-Aids on the mirror?" You know what? I think you and I sometimes in our mind think that we're pulling one over on God. You're not pulling anything over on God. He knows everything you do. He knows everything that you've done. But guess what? He still says, "Come to me." No matter how bad your life has been or how sinful it has been, God says, "Come to me." You're not fooling Him. He knows you better than you know yourself. So you need to come to Jesus. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, we love You so much, and we're so grateful that You love us. Thank You, Lord, that You provided a Savior to wash the sins away, the stains of the sin. Lord, to cleanse us, make us pure, make us white. Lord, I pray that we would have willing hearts to surrender to You, to follow You. Lord, I pray You wouldn't let us rebel or to turn You away or harden our hearts or be stiff-necked. But Lord, mold us to be humble people that trust You. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.